business as we have been conducting a special meeting, and I'd like to announce the result of the closed session from the special meeting is that the district board entertained interviews with three candidates for district legal counsel. We heard the proposals and discussed various questions with the proposed candidates, and we are taking those interviews under advisement. So that was the subject of our special meeting, and I would move to adjourn the special meeting.
Second.
And I believe it's just about 6 o'clock.
Yes. Okay. In 20 seconds.
Good evening again, and welcome to the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District Board of Directors meeting for Wednesday, October 7th, 2015. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Guerrero?
I'm present.
Vice Chair Schultz?
Present.
Chairman Hill?
Here. Brings us to public comment for items that are not on the agenda this evening. Any member of the public is welcome to address the board on items that are not on the agenda this evening. If you would like to comment on something that is on the agenda, we'll offer an opportunity to do that during the discussion on each of those agendized items. So if you would like to comment on something that's not on the agenda, please do so.
Patty Welsh, Arroyo Grande. I had the pleasure of being at Grover Beach's city council meeting the other night when they discussed the South County Sanitation District. And I was very pleased that the Grover Beach's attorney advised Mr. Nichols and Mr. Schultz that if they were going to vote at the Sanitation District, that one or both of them should recuse themselves. I thought it was good advice, so thank you. And Mr. Schultz did recuse himself, so thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment on items that are not on the agenda this evening? Ms. Brown.
Sharon Brown, resident of Grover Beach. I have three things. When might we anticipate the final Knutson report? Also, the status of the lawsuits. I'm not referring to anything specific, but has there been, you know, we're getting legal bills. I'm wondering if those legal bills are for activity that is actually taking place or if there's still an impasse that hasn't been breached or exactly what's happening. So just a status report. And then regarding the billing services, I know it was pulled from tonight's agenda, and I'm just wondering if the delay indicates that there hasn't been a workable formula devised by the three agencies. Are they not all on the same page, or is it just some details that have to be worked out?
In terms of the final report, I believe that's due the end of the month. Is that correct?
I know that he has one more interview that'll be close to the end of the month, so as soon as we could expect it is the first meeting of next month and maybe the second meeting. But I know it won't be this month because he has one more interview and it's late in the month. So.
Okay. And then status of the lawsuits, that might be one that I would request Jenna to give us information that is or something that we can't do. I don't know.
Well, I don't want to discuss the status of the lawsuits in open session because that's something that we will be doing in closed session. So in closed session tonight, then you can authorize me to make a statement or you can authorize yourselves to report back on the status of the lawsuits at the next meeting, since it is considered confidential information. So,
okay, I would then request the public's indulgence until we conclude our closed session and may be able to make some comment after that. And on the status of billing service, I'm actually not informed on the up-to-date status of it, but I know the three jurisdictions were the finance directors have met and have had discussions, and there's been some suggestions for how to move forward. So I don't believe there's an impasse directly, but we're not there yet, but I believe that we're making progress. So
and if I can just suggest that, I was going to ask Amy to do that, but Ms. Wells talked about the Grove Beach City Council discussing this the other night, and I recused myself and did not listen, so actually I have not even been updated on what that decision was. But the fact of the matter is there's been some discussion with the finance directors, but ultimately it will not be their call. That has to go through the respective city managers or district managers and then ultimately the board. That is why we had the discussion. There was a discussion in Grover Beach. So I think working toward a solution is what they're doing.
Yeah, your point is very well taken that the meeting of the finance directors was a preliminary step to bring proposals forward that the city managers and the councils and the OCSD board could consider. So it was a start at the process. Ms. Tacker.
Julie Tacker, and I too would like to discuss the billing issue. You had a special meeting, I think it was the 26th, I'm sorry, I don't remember the date. It's a week ago Friday. Is that the right date? 25? Huh? Close. Anyway, your board did not take an action that day. There was a supplemental staff report. There was a staff report in Oceano on the Wednesday before that included an email from Debbie Malicote from Arroyo Grande that gave a formula that had a flat fee, a $15,000 flat fee plus 57 cents per household or customer. Grover Beach did consider that formula, but they also considered and they leaned toward their own formula that they had developed some approximate 3 years ago when this all kind of blew up back in the Geesland Wallace days. They had concerns. They leaned on their own formula because it was less expensive to the ratepayers than the flat fee formula. And they, you know, without shorting their own city, that's what they wanted to do, is provide a service at the lowest cost to both the Sand District and the ratepayer. They did ask the question, what makes up the flat fee? And I think that is the question that certainly I would bring to your board when this does become a subject for you to discuss. Also at your meeting on the Friday, I sent you a letter. I'm sorry I was unable to attend. In my letter, I recommended that you give a 60-day notice to cancel any contracts with Oceano. I've watched your meeting. Ms. Lucy claims there is no contract. Each of you agreed there is no contract, but the check was cashed. And when you cash a check, that is just like signing the bottom line on a contract. What also leads me to believe that you need to send a notice of some kind out of the abundance of caution is the action that the Oceano Community Services District Board took on Wednesday the 23rd, where they say, in the event that a mutually developed agreement is not executed for whatever reason, staff is directed to continue to provide billing services in the future, provided the Sanitation District provides a written request and payment in the amount of $3,666 by the 15th day of the month in which the bills will be sent, odd number months. So whether or not you have entered into agreement, there is no agreement, They're still billing with, they billed without an agreement. I'm really confused, but I think whatever, there, no process takes place until you tell them. And that is what they directed their board, their general manager. But nevertheless, they are poised to proceed at the $3,666 per billing cycle, which I believe the majority of this board agreed was too expensive or inequitable. And that takes us back to looking at the formula, looking at what Debbie Malico devised, and then scratching our heads about Grover Beach, saying that they can provide the service at less cost with using their formula. I thought it was interesting that the council for Grover Beach suggested that you recuse yourself. In Oceano, both Guerrero and Lucy participated in the direction to pursue the formula. This is where the legal minds are going to hash it out, and may the best man win.
Thank you for your comment.
Or woman.
Would anyone else like to comment on items not on the agenda this evening? Okay, hearing none. I'm sorry, Mary?
I'm Mary Lucy Oceano. In the packet that's posted on the Oceano website, in the packet for the last board meeting, there was a memo from the interim general manager for the sanitation district giving directive to the Oceano staff. And attached to that memo was a check for $3,666. And in the memo, it stated, here's payment for one billing cycle. Please either, and don't, of course, it's not exact wording. It gave a choice to either, and Mr. Clemens, if you could speak to this, you could probably clarify because you wrote it. It says either do it for back billing or the current billing cycle. Now, if OCSD wanted to create any hardship or anything like that, the approach would have been different, and there would have been on the record two billing cycles that were flawed. And being residents from Oceano, we don't want to see that happen. So the bill was applied to the current billing period, so that would not be flawed. And so we only have one billing cycle on the record that hasn't been paid. And so Ms. Tackert is absolutely right. There isn't a contract. I don't understand the 60-day thing, but I know that in the packet with the information, there is a memo from Mr. Clemens, the interim sanitation director.
Thank you very much. Any other comment on items not on the agenda? Going once, going twice. Okay, we'll close public comment, general public comment, and move to the consent agenda. Any questions from the board?
I did note on looking for the date. On the Wednesday, September 2nd minutes under item 3B, it says the minutes were approved 2-1, but Director Scholl's abstained, so it should be 2-0 with one abstention. Small point.
Technical correction.
Yeah, technical correction. And then that I'd move to approve the consent agendas.
Well, I don't have any questions. I don't know if you were going to see if anyone from the community had.
Yes, I would. Is there anyone from the public who has a comment on the consent agenda items, which are review and approval of minutes of the special meeting August 13th, the meeting of September 2nd, meeting of September 16th, and the warrants. Ms. Tacker.
Julie Tacker again, and again, I'm looking at the Downey brand contract. Expenditure is $1,585. Again, that seems low. So with your indulgence this evening, if after a closed session you could update us on the legal case, seems like Mr. Seitz is billing a lot while the specialist is billing a little. So there's definitely confusion in my mind as to where the case is going, and really who's in charge, who's in the lead here. You know, you hire Downey Brown and they are the specialist. So I'd like to know more.
One clarification that I might give on that is that I believe Mr. Seitz had additional business with the district that was not related to that Downey Brand issue.
Okay.
Any other comment on the consent agenda items? Ms. Brown.
This goes back to some of my concern about litigation, so I'm going to tag on to the Downey Brand. My concern is, are we going to have these continuing legal charges in perpetuity? It seems like we keep getting legal charges, but we're not getting anywhere.
Thank you. I share some of your concerns. Any other comments on the consent agenda items? Okay, hearing none. We have a motion, I believe.
Yeah, I made a motion.
Director Grau.
Okay, I will second that motion, and I also wanted to just say it's not our intent to be having these legal fees in perpetuity, but I'm going to second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the consent agenda as presented. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schultz?
Yes.
Chairman Hill?
Yes. Item 4 is the plant superintendent's report. Mr. Clemens.
Good evening, gentlemen. In our plant's operating great. I mean, it's the numbers here are all, most of them are, except for Fluence and Spin to Solids, are below last year's average with regard to limits. We're still using less chlorine than we averaged apparently last year. With regard to maintenance, we repaired a chlorine leak at the discharge piping. We cleaned plant storm drains, vacuumed and pressure washed baskets. That has a lot to do with wet weather preparation and making sure that the plant internal storm drain or water collection system works correctly. We began heating and mixing digester number one. We currently now have digester number one up and running, and digester number two is the secondary digester, which doesn't get mixed. It just settles out the sludge so we can pull it to the draw to the sludge drying beds. We had to adjust our centrifuge weir plates because of the concentration of the sludge going to the centrifuge. We removed rag from a centrifuge feed pipe. We removed and replaced a belt on one of our lawnmowers, the riding one. And we reconfigured piping in our secondary clarifier pump room to restore the plant back to normal operations in that area. We completed a number of work orders. In progress, Gary Taylor Associates are still working with staff on the sewer bridge project. We're currently going to have a biological resource assessment done. It's part of the permitting process. We found out that's required by the Department of Fish and Wildlife. So that assessment looks like it's going to cost us around $3,000. So we'll get that done so that we can move forward and finally get this thing off our sheet. MK Engineers drafted an RFP for our new grit removal system, or actually a preliminary design report, a PDR for the grit removal system. We'll hear about that later on in the evening. Staff has begun planning for installation of mechanical bar screen in the headworks. We're meeting with MKA to discuss the development of an RFP for that project also. Our secondary process redundancy project, just a quick update. We're expect to be speaking with the Water Board and the Coastal Commission within a week, just making contact, letting them know what we plan on doing and seeing what they may require of us. Other than that, we expect to have a full-scale RFP prepared within the month, too, with that. So we're moving along pretty good on that. They've made contact with our engineers are in contact, currently in contact with our rate study personnel, and they're working that out about the final numbers and what type of increase, if any, is going to be required and what it's going to take to make that happen as soon as possible. Excuse me. With regard to SCADA, Director Guerrero, you can come over and it's look at the screen now. We actually have our SCADA up and running. We still have a lot of work to do on it, but it's up and running. It's visual. We have it's monitoring now. So we've made it past the first major hurdle. Right now, the operator in charge of that project is in training with Rockwell. He'll be in training all this week, so when he comes back, he can refine it for us, and we can really have a really well-functioning project. But we do have the screens up. They do show movement. We can't go from screen to screen and see all parts of the plant now.
Great. So that's awesome.
Should come out and take a look.
It's been a couple of years.
Yeah, it started, I think. Yeah, January would have been 2 years from the time.
Congratulations to you and staff.
Thank you. With regard to training, staff attended a training session on the use of our digital mentor information systems. That's the iPad systems we have that contain all the plant information for the operators to use during the course of their workday. That's pretty much it I have for the superintendent's report. I'll be more than happy to answer any questions the board may have.
Questions for Mr. Quinn?
No questions.
I was just quite pleased to see the numbers coming down. Obviously, the plant is happier that the repairs are done, and so I appreciate your efforts on that, John.
Thank you.
Yeah, very good job by the staff on that to get through the pipeline replacement project there and the bypass that was installed and operated and get us back in good numbers. That's much appreciated. Also glad to hear that the sewer bridge project is moving forward, even if slowly, and that the SCAD is running. That's good news. Is there public comment on the report? Okay, hearing none, we'll receive and file a report. Thank you very much. Individual items. First is 5A, review and approve the continuing emergency action and repair the influent pipeline. Mrs. Clemens, have a staff report?
Yeah, at this point, staff recommends that the board receive and file information on this final report on emergency action to repair the pipeline from the headworks to the primary. In late June, on June 26, a leak was discovered in our main pipeline. The pipeline was evaluated by specialists and determined that the cause was just years of usage and wear. At the July 1st board meeting, our board unanimously declared an emergency in conformance with Public Act Contract Code Section 22050 and authorized the district to expend up to $340,000 to repair and replace the influent pipeline. At every meeting since then, the board has made that, has approved the continued emergency action. The work to repair the pipeline has been completed, and the final invoice for equipment and services has been issued to the district. We didn't get that final invoice on this particular warrant register, but we do have it in hand. The original damaged pipe was replaced with 24-inch high-density polyethylene pipe. Sections of HDPE were fused together and inserted into the interior of the existing 30-inch pipe. Approximately 440 feet of pipe were replaced. The approximate total cost of the project, including services, supplies, and equipment rental, was $320,000. Let me finish here. During the replacement project, the other related work There was other related work performed. The work included adding a manhole halfway through the pipe. So we have a manhole at about 225 feet that we can monitor that pipe and keep better track of it. We replaced the manifold at the headwork structure because replacing the pipe without replacing the manifold, which was also 50 years old, didn't make sense. Adding valves to the pipeline we added the valves that we're going to need for the grit removal project. And the refitting of the emergency backup pipeline. So the cost of related work were not charged to the replacement project fund. In other words, Baker performed the work as a whole, but they broke out the charges related to the headworks, which weren't the emergency project, and the charges related to installing the valves for the grit removal project, which again weren't emergency project. So the total bill came to somewhere around $320,000 minus $80,000 for other related work that would not have been part of the project had we not requested it. They weren't part of an emergency. What brings it back up to $300,000? So the construction and work by Baker and with Gehring Engineering came to about $230,000, but we did spend another $70,000 with Rain for Rent for renting equipment and them running back and forth and installing, because Rain for Rent is in Bakersfield and there's no one in this area that does that type of work. And so, again, just a quick breakdown. The construction and engineering costs came to about $230,000. The rental and some of the equipment was another $70,000. So that accounts for the total cost of the actual emergency portion of the project. And, of course, while we had it open, gave us an opportunity to get a few other things done that saved the district money in the long run from having to open the ground back up. Staff is recommending that the board take and file this report and that we do not need to continue the action, the emergency action at this point for the pipeline repair.
Questions from the board?
No, I'm just glad it's done, and I thank staff for playing heads-up ball on this and some foresight that was used not to have redundant costs in the future. So thank you.
I have a question for legal counsel, but after you open it up to the public and you come back. Okay.
Is there public comment on the emergency action? Item 5A. Okay. Thank you very much.
Just a clarification. So staff recommendation is that we just receive, and there's no formal action we need to take, correct?
I believe that's correct, yeah. So we are finishing out it's just the belt and suspenders.
So no motions are needed. I think we're good.
Well,
we can motion to receive and file the report.
Then do we declare, I'm sorry, John, okay. I didn't mean, do we declare the emergency to be completed? Or my understanding is we would have to either declare that it's continuing or that it's completed.
Right, we can declare that it's complete, which is what this report says. So I think really all that needs to, this wasn't necessarily necessary. I think it's just the belt and suspenders. Instead of having it just end, we wanted to have a report back, let everyone know how the process went. So we're closing it now.
Okay, so let me try this then. I'll just move that we receive and file the information in this final staff report on the emergency action to repair the pipeline from the headworks to the primary clarifier at the wastewater treatment plant. How's that?
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded that we receive and file the final report on the emergency action. Can we have a roll call, please?
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Schultz?
Yes.
Chairman Hill?
Yes. Thank you very much. Item 5B, preliminary design report presentation. Mr. Clemens.
Yes, board. What we have before us, staff recommends that the board review and the attached preliminary design report and approve the development and issuance of a request for proposal for a grit removal system. With background, grit refers to small inorganic and organic solid materials basically sandy, gritty stuff that gets into the system. The majority of wastewater plants actually have grit removal. For whatever reason, our plant does not have, which is kind of ironic, being by the beach with all the sand infiltration. In any case, the grit tends to get in past the initial process and cause inordinate amount of wear on equipment. For example, we just had to open up our centrifuge, and there's a part called nozzles where you have a stainless steel opening covered by, I think it's a metal or some type of graphite titanium metal that covers and keeps those nozzles in place. Well, in looking at that, we discovered that the nozzles had been worn through the protective metal all the way down to the stainless steel. And when we brought the tech in from the centrifuge company, he was surprised because we only have like 4,000 hours on that piece of equipment. And he says typically it's 12,000 hours before you even start seeing that type of wear. But because our sludge is particularly gritty, it's causing abnormal wear. I talked to Trini in the past, with the older centrifuge, they were changing it out. They were having to service it every 2 years, which is a little bit more frequent than what you would expect. I know we've had to change out our sludge pumps, or at least the rotor section, a couple of times already. And that's been primarily due to the amount of grit getting through. And so a grit removal system would obviously prevent that. And also the grit becomes kind of an inorganic space taker in our digester. So all of a sudden we have to clear our digesters a lot sooner. As we produce sludge and we pay to have the sludge taken away, you have a certain amount of that is grit now, or a larger amount than what should be. So now we're paying extra money to have it hauled away when we could remove it, dump it in the trash can, and have the local trash company take it away for a lot less. In case all these things, all these problems are created by excess grit or grit in the system, and again, this district does not have a grit removal system at this point, and it is a recommendation of staff that we install a grit removal system to prevent wear. One more advantage of installing a grit system at this point is when we, if we continue with the redundancy project and we get activated sludge, when you start dealing with activated sludge, you're trying to account for a certain amount of biology in the water. And if you have a lot of inorganics in there, it makes it a lot harder to operate, a lot harder to calculate. Because when you calculate your sludge, you're basically counting bugs. But if you're mixing in with a lot of inorganics, then it takes your count off. So it'll make the operation of activated sludge a lot, or run a little smoother, too, down the road. In case... Attachment A comprises a preliminary design report that was produced by Mike Nunley Associates. John Hanlon is here tonight from Mike Nunley Associates to answer any questions that the board may have. This does include a site plan, an opinion of cost, the Grit King proposal package, and we've included an estimated timeline. The total cost of the project at this point, with contingencies and everything, is estimated to be $627,000. Right now, the district has already allocated and have $560,000 available for the project. So if the board has any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer, or Mr. Hanlon will be more than happy to help us, I'm sure.
Questions from the board, John?
Thank you, Jim. So, John, you touched on this. So budget is $560,000, and this estimate is coming in at $627,000, including the contingency, correct?
Yes, sir.
So there's no discussion about where those additional funds, you would be recommending those additional funds come from?
No. There's a thing we can do that would cut us about $60,000. If we were to order the equipment ourselves, as opposed to having a contractor order it, then that would save us, what was it, somewhere around $60,000? I think we figured $40,000-$50,000. So if we needed to, we could cut it right there. Instead of having our contractor order equipment, we could order it ourselves.
So you're not recommending any adjustment to budgets at this time then? Is that, just want to be clear.
No, not at this time.
Okay. And then had this gone out to bid previously competitively?
No, it hasn't. That's where we're trying to develop an RFP and put it out to bid. We haven't, we just developed a preliminary design report. We're almost ready with RFP if the board sees fit to allow us to issue it.
Very good. Thank you, John.
Matt, questions?
No, thank you.
My only question is probably an obvious one, is the proposed location for the grit removal system will not impact the proposed location for our redundancy project?
No, it's nowhere near where any of the redundancy equipment will be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there...
I do have a question now. I remember a number of months back we had... we were talking about the grit in the system and, you know, where it was coming from. Obviously, Oceano flushed for the first time in years and or jetted the system. People have been flushing for years, I guess. But... and it was collecting, and I can't remember where in the treatment process it was collecting. I remember you talking about trying to get the grit out of the system. Do you remember that?
It collected in a couple of places. There was a lot of grit in this same pipeline that we just replaced. Remember, there was like 3 inches, a good portion, or the majority of that was grit. So you had 3 inches sitting in that 450 line feet of pipe. And then I think what you talk about, we had to, it was one of those times we had to replace a pump, and we pulled the pump out at the secondary digester, and when we pulled the pump out, there was just, we had to flush out the line because there was so much grit inside the line that we weren't even aware of.
That's what I recall. Yes, thank you. Good. Thank you. And this would obviously be placed in a position where it would take care of those issues, not the pipe coming in the 450 feet, but later on in the treatment process, we would be less likely to have it contaminating the system.
Yes. According to the numbers and just the way this type of system works at Grit King, almost all the grit will be removed. And it there's one more service it does, too, for us. As long as we have a trickle filter process, we have snails and filter flies and their larvae that slough off, and it ends up in our effluent and all throughout the plant. And so this grit removal system would actually remove that larvae and snail shells. Because in the past, when the district had to remove them, they had a smaller version, a cyclone, to remove the snail shell. So this is actually, this will serve a purpose of also removing those snail shells and dead fly larvae from our processes also.
Well, and final question, I didn't think I had any, here I go. But the influent pipe, the 440 feet, 450 feet of pipe that has just been replaced, is there a maintenance program for that so that we don't have grit buildup or...
And that's one of the reasons we had the manhole installed at 200 feet, so it's not a hardship now for us to... We haven't developed a maintenance program, but I'm glad you brought that up. That was the point of putting that manhole in. Now we can go in, we'll start probably annually and see how much is settled, and we have easy access. So, yeah, this allows us easy access to that pipeline now.
Thank you, Mr. Clements. Thank you, Board. Public.
Is there public comment on this item? Ms. Tacker.
I'm going to take this just a little different direction in that the grit and what actually goes in a sewer and how an outreach, a public outreach, or even a little spot on your website that talks about a healthy sewer and what we do and don't put down our drains. Sometimes we need to be reminded. Because anything you flush or goes down that drain, you're paying John and his crew and all your equipment to pull that back out in through the treatment process. So if the quality of the effluent going in to the sewer is better, then your ratepayer dollars don't have to work so hard to have a fine product coming out. One quick gross example. I live on a septic system, so I've been conscientious about what goes down my drains my whole life. I went to visit a friend who lives in Paso Robles on a sewer system, and I saw her clean out her hairbrush and throw it in the toilet. And I gasped to think that that didn't go in the trash, because I know when it gets down to John and the guys... That clogs the system. I know you don't have hair, Mr. Schultz.
But when I did, I didn't throw a brush down the toilet.
a lot of people treat the toilet like it's a trash can. And just that example has you know, come with me probably 10 years ago that happened. But people have to be educated about what goes down their drains. And the toilet is a drain, too, and it's not a trash can. So just one part of that same process.
Thank you very much for that comment, which is an enlightened comment. And there's other things while we're on the subject that do not belong down the drain. Expired prescription medicines is a classic example, and all of those types of things, chemicals and so forth, are not to be put down the drain, because, as Ms. Tacker noted, they end up ultimately at the sanitation district plant and adversely affect the biological processes there. So I'm very appreciative of your comment. It's not just solids. It's also chemicals, drugs, other things like that. Grease, yes. Thank you, Mary. So we appreciate everyone's attention to that. In making sure that we don't put improper things, and that those are disposed of in the proper waste streams, so that they do not impact the sanitation district plant. I appreciate the comment. Any other comment on this item? Ms. Brown.
Well, I wasn't going to comment, but Ms. Tacker raised a very interesting point that struck home with me just this very afternoon as I was preparing lunch and chopping up veggies. And guess where the tops went? In my garbage disposal. I am not going to use my garbage disposal anymore.
I think also to that, the South County Sanitary is starting a food recycling program that becomes state law on January 1st, I believe. Everybody's getting a bucket for their countertop to save those particular items to be composted. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lid for the bucket, so it won't stink too bad, supposedly. So.
Ms. Welch.
An organization that you might want to get in touch with is Hospice Partners. They have you flush all drugs that are not used at the time of the patient's death. Thank you. Mm.
Appreciate the comment. We'll try to follow up on that. Any other comment on this item? Okay, hearing none, we'll come back to the board.
I move that we approve development and issuance of an RFP for a grit removal system.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the RFP for the grit removal system. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Schultz?
Yes.
Chairman Hill?
Yes.
You don't have a hair either, so for the record.
Basket. Okay, moving on to item 5C, adoption of a resolution pledging to follow best practices of civility and civil discourse in all our meetings.
Okay, staff recommends the board adopt an attached resolution pledge following the best practices of civility and civil discourse in all meetings. At the September 16th meeting, the Board of Directors, the League of Women Voters of San Luis Obispo made a presentation entitled Empowering Our Communities Through Civil Engagement. And at that time, they offered up a resolution for civil discourse. The board at that time directed staff to make adjustments, modify the resolution, and bring it back to the board for presentation for possible passing. And so we have a modification of a resolution that we were offering to the board for passing at this point.
I can jump in, and I did review the resolution and made sure it complied with the board's the resolution, the board's format for resolutions. So that was sort of the review and changes that were made.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Questions from board members? John?
I don't have any questions of staff.
No, neither do I. Thank you.
Neither do I. Is there a public comment on this item?
I have public comment, but not on this subject. It was earlier, and I just caught it. Under consent item agenda, it's labeled 3, but all the consent items are labeled 4A, 4B, 4C, 4D, and I don't know if that's going to make a difference on your voting. That's it.
Thank you for that. Mine appears to be correct.
As does mine.
Well, we apologize for that.
So, Mr. Chair, if I may indulge, I know this is open to the public, and I had talked with Sharon Kimball with the League of Women's Voters, who had come in and with Marguerite, they'd done such a wonderful presentation, and I had asked her if she would be here tonight to field any questions. I don't know if she had any comments on this item, or I did want to ask the question, since they've done such a good job and moving forward with this initiative and talking about civil discourse, if they had considered taking up other similar trainings, whether it's on Public Record Act request or any other thing that would help in building that respect and civility in public meetings.
I'm now the interim president tonight because President Marguerite is in South Africa.
Well, interim president, Sharon Kimball.
For a family wedding. And anyway, yes, we do have plans to help. One is in supporting both citizens and elected officials with our ambassador, Civil Discourse Ambassador Corps and Observer Corps that will be attending meetings on a regular basis across the county. And as far as workshops, we are still working on training for elected officials in civil discourse in conjunction and partnership with the National Institute for Civil Discourse and Ted Celeste, who's the representative who trains legislative congressmen across the country in each state. So I'm still in contact with him. And we didn't think we could put that together, get all everything in a place for fall, so we're looking more at spring for that. I know that you and I had another possible workshop is on parliamentary procedure. And recently I was introduced to something that I was unaware called Rosenberg's Rules, which apparently a gentleman who was a council member had put together a more simplified version that government bodies are using. And I think the League of Cities uses that, and I just recently came across that. And I'm saying that because we're thinking about doing a parliamentary workshop, and so we might include that as part of that for training as far as future training. And you and I had a conversation about the Freedom Act. I've done some and how you navigate that for the benefit of citizens and elected officials. And although we don't have anyone who's certified to be involved with that, my research revealed that there is some information regarding, actually there's only 4 states right now that have made it part of their process, and I'm kind of surprised that California, I didn't find in my research that we're one of them, but Maine, Florida, Texas, Maine, Florida, Texas, I'm trying to think who I left out, but there are 4 states now that are requiring that training. We know there's federal training for that Freedom Act, but not as many states are doing it, but there are 4 states that aren't. And the League of Cities actually put together something called the People's, it's called the People's Business. It's a 67-page booklet that does is a good resource for elected bodies and officials on how to navigate the Freedom Act from requests from citizens. So I guess those are the basic things, and we'll be so we will be supporting you on a continuing basis. We want to make this a sustainable support from the League and not just temporary.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Kimball.
Appreciate that. Is there any other comment on this item?
Ron Holt of Rio Grande. I have 2 things. One, I've heard expressed by somebody, well, Debbie Peterson specifically, a somewhat of a concern about having policies that might inhibit free expression in some kind of a legal manner. And I don't know if that's something that you've considered in adopting these policies. I personally agree with all the policies, and I would like to see them in, you know, as a, but I don't want to do it as a, if there is a conflict with freedom of speech, that's something that is important to me too. And the second thing is I want to commend everybody tonight for basically abiding by these policies. This is the most civil and best expressed meeting I've been to in the year or so that I've been attending these meetings. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment on this item?
I wasn't going to speak tonight on this because I... You've heard that before. Because I did make comments at the meeting where the presentation was made. I'm all in favor of this. As far as the freedom of speech, I don't see anything in here that prohibits somebody from speaking. I think what we are trying to attempt is that we don't embarrass somebody, we don't call somebody out, we don't make accusations. In other words, just being civil. Our right to speak is not going to be breached. No, that's not the right word. But our right to speak is still going to be there. My right to speak is here. I will admit that sometimes, including the Monday night meeting at City Council in Grover Beach, we are less than civil. We lose our tempers and that sort of thing. But as a board or a council or any other governmental body, your patience and indulgence reflects back into the audience. You set the example, and we follow. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Would anyone else like to comment on this item? Okay, hearing none at this time. Oh, I'm sorry. Ms. Price.
I wanted to read something that I got from Debbie. She says, also consider an update on the first page of each agenda, which states, slanderous, profane, or personal remarks against any board member, staff, or member of the audience shall not be permitted. And what she says is this could be considered a freedom of speech violation and is not likely defensible. It should be softened or removed. Only the courts can determine whether or not a remark is slanderous, and our rights to comment on our public officials are quite rightly protected by law. I agree with that, and again, I would really, really prefer we keep everything civil and polite, although that is a consideration.
Thank you very much. Any other commentary? Okay. Coming back to the board then. Board comment.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Hill. And I appreciate everybody's comments, and Mr. Holt, I always appreciate when you get up and you speak. And please know that none of us that are trying to affect freedom of speech and First Amendment rights. And I'm going to let legal counsel weigh in on this because I'm not an attorney. She is, and I'm just a public servant. So maybe you can address that concern.
Yes, I did. So I did review the resolution, and in addition to making sure it complied with the district's requirements for resolutions, I don't have both versions in front of me, but there may have been two words that I took out that troubled me slightly, which I guess I softened the language in a couple of places. But in general, none of the pledges in this resolution are requiring or prohibiting the district from taking an action or not taking an action. It's just pledging to work towards acting in a certain way or being respectful. So I do not have a problem with this resolution.
Very good. I think with that, I'd move that we adopt the resolution pledging to follow the best practices of civility and civil discourse in all meetings, and would encourage the public to join us in this pledge of civility and respect toward one another, as Mr. Browning has indicated earlier.
I would join. I can make one comment about Ms. Brown's comments. I would join all of them, but I think when you said breach, the word you were looking for was infringed. And so, yeah, and I would join those comments and second this motion.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded that we approve the resolution as presented. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Scholes?
Yes.
Chairman Hill?
Yes, indeed.
Sorry.
Thank you very much. Moving to item six, miscellaneous items. Is there any oral communication from board members? Or
I think the only communication I did want to make is, and I know Ms. Tacker talked about maybe a modification to the website regarding a healthy sewer system, and you know, maybe that's something we should discuss, what it would take to do that and how we would go about it, because I think it's a very good idea.
Speaking of website, I've had two comments. One, I think the website still shows the Oceano Boardroom as the meeting site, even though the agendas don't. Did you change it? Okay. All right, well, and the second one was the somebody mentioned to me today that there's a tab for, like, board minutes, but it doesn't go to the right place, and then there's two tabs. I'll go in and look. She says it's under construction with Alltech. I'll tell you what. I'll impose upon myself to peruse the website and see if I see any challenges, and I'll come back next week and tell you, or 2 weeks and tell you. How about that?
If, you know, during the course of the time, if anybody finds anything, you can call us and let us know.
Okay.
At any given time, and we can attack it at that time.
Sorry.
If there's something wrong, we'd like to know about it.
Yeah. Everybody email John if you see something on it.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
Any oral communication from staff? Nothing at this time. Written communication? None? We will be going shortly into closed session. I would ask, let's have counsel please introduce the closed session item before we have public comment, and then after it's introduced, we can have public comment on the closed session items.
All right. There are three separate items to be discussed in closed session. One is conference with legal counsel pursuant to existing litigation per paragraph 1 of subdivision D of section 54956.9 of the government code, two cases, South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District versus State Water Resources Control Board. The second litigation is South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District versus Special District Risk Management. And the third item under discussion tonight in closed session is public employee appointment pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1, District Legal Counsel.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone from the public who would like to address any of these items for the board? Ms. Tacker.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I'll start with the last one first in the public employee appointment. And I'm curious when the public can view the proposals so that we can help you make your decision. I know you don't have to. You can make the decision yourself, but I'd be curious to know who's applying. Sometimes we find conflicts that you might not or they may not disclose, so I'd like to see who's applied. The other thing, kind of with the regard to the lawsuit with the State Water Resources Control Board, your communities are also part of the Northern Cities Management Area, and some of you have recently filed litigation against the northern, Napomo Mesa management area, also part of the Santa Maria groundwater basin. And it occurs to me that the things we're doing at the plant, cleaning up the water, having a grit removal, having a bar screen, having redundancy, getting that water cleaner and cleaner, how close is that water going to get to being possibly used by Phillips 66? Your Northern Cities Management Area is suggesting that Napomo put on a moratorium, cease pumping the ground, whatever it takes to reduce the pressures on that basin. Phillips 66 is pumping 1,100 acre feet a year. You're producing treated wastewater. What's the level that they need that they could then you only have one outfall for that water instead of two places that water's going. You get a double use. It just seems to me that as part of the litigation and that you're showing the water board that you're cleaning up your act, you're not going to have a flood or a spill again, that having a creative process where you can recycle that water to a party that is pumping hard on the basin seems like solutions that you can offer. And I just don't know how clean it has to be to go through Phillips 66, but they've got gazillions of dollars, and if they were forced to alleviate some of their pumping, maybe they would look to funding some of this. So it's just, I didn't know where to put that. We've talked about a little bit in Oceano. It just seems like more and more the climate is ripe to get Phillips off of the basin, and you have the resource in which to do it.
Thank you for your comment. Any other comment on the closed session items? Okay, hearing none at this time, we'll move to the closed session.
7:03.
We're returning from closed session. Thank you for your patience. And I will ask District Legal Counsel to please provide a report.
The board heard a status report on both of the items of litigation, South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District versus State Water Resources Control Board and South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District versus SDRMA. And for the third item, the appointment of District Legal Counsel, the board directed staff to check references of the various different legal firms that had submitted requests for proposal, submitted proposals.
Mm-hmm. And did we want to make a comment about the availability of?
Yeah, you can do that or I can do that, either one.
There was a tentative ruling filed in the State Water Board Regional Action on September 25th. That'll be posted to the website tomorrow. It's overruling in part and sustaining in part with leave to amend on a demur that was filed by the state. And so that'll be posted on the website tomorrow.
Okay. I'm told that it's also available on the Sacramento
Court website. And the case number, if anybody wants it, is 34-2015-8000-2033. And as Ms. Brown reaches for her pen, you want me to do that again? It's on the agenda. There we go. I'll move to
adjourn.
Second.
Okay. We are adjourned.
Good night, everybody.